Wall Street opens lower. From Marketplace, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer in for David Brancaccio. Investors are looking ahead to Thursday, when we'll get December Consumer Price Index numbers. Karen Petru is co-founder and managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. She joins me now on this. Good morning, Karen.
Morning, Nancy.
So what do you think the December CPI will look like?
I think we're going to see more of the same gradual slowing. And it's important to remember that means we still have inflation. Inflation in the 2.5% to more likely 3% range, which is above the Fed's target of 2% and still painful to most American households. But it's slowing, and that's certainly all to the good.
Slowing but not falling. Where will inflation still be sticky, Karen? In the services sector like we've seen in the past?
Services, housing, I think, remains a major area. Healthcare, cost of other services, childcare. Food prices are volatile, and they're certainly not going down for all but a few key commodities. And energy, particularly gasoline, remains uncertain due to the geopolitical risk in the Red Sea.
Right. There are geopolitical risks. Of course, the Fed is keeping an eye on inflation. It has been raising interest rates to cool the economy and cool off inflation. So what types of inflation numbers would the Fed need to see to cut interest rates?
Well, I think first thing I would say, it's important to note that high interest rates are not cooling the economy. Look at the consumer spending during the holiday season and the sharp jump in consumer debt, including credit card debt, that we saw over the same holidays to fund all that spending. People were still buying, even though credit card rates are at an historic high. Problem the Fed faces, as it has since 2010, is that the economy isn't acting like the models predict. Inflation is subsiding with higher rates, but the economy isn't cooling, and you still have, therefore, the risk of ongoing inflation. It might not be hyper hot, but it's hot.
Yeah, there is one model that says the last mile of getting inflation down is the hardest, like running the last mile of a marathon. But in December, Fed Chair Jerome Powell said that might not be the case this time. What do you think, Karen?
Well, I have to say, Jay Powell also said a few Fed meetings back that inflation was over. It had been solved. And then the next month, the rates went up far higher than he and the rest of his colleagues on the FOMC anticipated. So I really think it's important not to look at what the Fed says, but what the numbers are going to force it to do.
That was Karen Petru, co-founder and managing partner at Federal Financial Analytics. Thank you, Karen.
Thanks, Nancy.
Here in the U.S., consumer credit jumped more than $23 billion in November. That's according to the Federal Reserve. That's much more than previous months and also much more than economists expected. Revolving credit, mostly credit card debt, rose more than 17% on an annual basis. All this continues a trend of households struggling with high and rising prices, leading to a surge in debt and delinquencies. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Credit card interest rates are the highest they've ever been. Balances are up 40% in the past 3 years. And delinquencies are now the highest since 2012, says Ted Rossman at Bankrate.
More people are carrying more debt for longer periods of time.
High and middle income households could catch up using savings and current income. But, says Rossman,
lower income households have been hit harder by inflation and higher interest rates, and they are more likely to carry balances.
Polling firm Morning Consult finds low income consumers increasingly strained, says economist Caleb Brune.
The monthly debt to income ratio, and then include some things like buy now, pay later, continue to trend higher.
Meanwhile, supplemental pandemic era food stamp benefits were cut off back in March. And more recipients are now falling behind, says Justin King at financial technology firm Propel.
The rent eats first is a saying for a reason. People try to pay rent on time, but they may defer their utility payments.
King says since March, more low-income households are delaying or paying partial utility bills, missing meals, and visiting food banks. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The Biden administration has issued a new rule that aims to prevent the misclassification of workers as independent contractors or gig workers. The new rule would replace a Trump-era standard that lowered the bar for classifying workers as contractors. The Golden Globes were Sunday night. The big winners were movies like Oppenheimer and the TV series Succession. The movie Saltburn also had two nominations, although it went home empty-handed. The film has been notable for another reason, though. A song in the movie, Murder on the Dance Floor, by the British pop singer Sophie Ellis-Bextor, is charting among the UK's top 10 singles for the first time in more than 20 years. This is a case study in how a film or TV show can catapult older music back to the top of the charts. The BBC's Will Chalk filed this report for us.
But you better not kill the girl. If you've seen Saltburn, this song will conjure images of a stark naked Barry Keoghan dancing through the halls of a mansion house. Yeah, take care if you're operating heavy machinery right now. Thanks to its featuring in the film's climax and the subsequent TikTok trend with people, mostly fully clothed, recreating the scene, Murder on the Dance Floor has climbed back into the UK top 10 for the first time in more than 20 years. Sophie Ellis-Bextor told the BBC what she makes of it.
So I was approached by Emerald Fennell quite a few months ago now, actually, about using Murder on the Dance Floor in Saltburn. And when you're approached for approval of a song, you get a little synopsis of how the song will be used. So it said that it was going to use the song in its entirety while the main character dances in a stately home at the end of the film. Oh, and he will be completely naked for the entire dance routine. And I gave my approval very fast because not only was I a fan of Emerald's work, I thought, I really have to see that.
Now, if a viral film or TV show bringing a vintage pop hit to a new, younger audience sounds familiar, that's probably because it is. It didn't hurt. After featuring in the Netflix series Stranger Things in 2022, Kate Bush's 1985 hit Running Up That Hill was pushed to the top of the UK charts for the first time. The singer spoke to the BBC.
What's really wonderful, I think, is that this is a whole new audience who, you know, in a lot of cases, they've never heard of me, and I love that.
Well, back to Saltburn, because as it stands, Murder on the Dance Floor has never been a UK number one. It's currently at number 8, but Sophie Ellis-Bextor says she's just enjoying the ride. I'm the BBC's Will Chalk, The Marketplace.
In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer with the Marketplace Morning Report, and we're from APM, American Public Media.